Well, the Lord brought me to a scripture to share with you, and hopefully it gives you something that you can receive and helps you in your walk with the Lord. It's in Matthew. I'm in chapter 14. It's a scripture we're all familiar with, but there's a little different understanding that the Lord has put in my heart. And in chapter 14, starting with verse 22. Now, this is just after what we know as where the five loaves and two fish were given out to the people. And as that is finishing up, in verse 22, the Lord goes over to his disciples. Then he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent away the crowds. Now, as I ponder this, this is a direct, I don't know if I want to call it a strong command, but this is a command from the Lord. Take the boat to his disciples and you go to the other side. Now, this is the word of the Lord. He's given them a word. Go over there. But look what Jesus does. After he had dismissed the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there alone. Now, this speaks to me that Jesus must have told them during the daytime to go up there. And we know that Jesus is listening to the Father. Whatever the Father tells him, he does. So he's not pressed to go yet, even though he told them, I'll see you on the other side. So there's no pressing Jesus to go. He's praying, and he's praying by himself, and it's into the evening hour. Doesn't tell us how long this is, but we can surmise it's a few hours. But the boat was by this time out on the sea, many furlongs. Now, I have the Amplified, and it says a furlong is 1/8 of a mile. Many furlongs distant from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. Now, Jesus has directed the disciples to go, and we know that Jesus is listening, so he knows full well there's a storm out there. His disciples are in the storm. Jesus' disciples are seasoned veterans of the sea. This is nothing new to them. They've been on the sea for a long time. This is, I'm sure, something they must have encountered before. This is not anything unusual to them. But they're being beaten and tossed. Now, bear in mind, by this time where this occurs, they have already witnessed several supernatural doings by their Lord. They've seen him heal multitudes. They've seen him raise from the dead. They've seen him cast out demons. And these men are familiar with that. This is not anything strange to them. This is familiar to them now. They know what Jesus is, and they themselves have been involved with this. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch, now in the Amplified it gives me the time. This is between 3 and 6 a.m. I'm just putting all those together. That's a significant amount of time that has occurred since Jesus has told them to go before he's commissioned to go himself. Between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Now, it's interesting to note here, Jesus knows his disciples are in a storm. And it's obviously from what tells us here, beaten and tossed by the waves. So it's a pretty heavy storm. So the storm is really going before Jesus is commissioned to go to them. Now, this is the time that the Father picks for him to walk on the water. He doesn't pick the time in the daylight when the disciples would easily see who it was and the water was still calm. He picks the time of night when it's dark. The waves are all stirred up. And this is the time the Father picks for Jesus to walk on the sea in the middle of a big storm. And it's very dark, night. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they screamed out with fright. As I read that verse, what crossed my mind is, now these are men that have been with Jesus for a while. These are men that knew quite a bit about the supernatural, shall we call it, the ways of God. Maybe that's a better way to put it. These are men that know quite a bit about the ways of God. And yet, when they see this coming towards them, they're terrified. But instantly he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, I am. Stop being afraid." Now, in my Bible, there's exclamation points after each of those, which tells me this is a very strong word from the Lord. He's meaning business here. This must have been a strong, "Take courage, I am. Stop being afraid." So Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now we already know that Peter is a pretty outspoken disciple. It's a very interesting that his first response, I found this fascinating. His first response when he hears this is, "Command me to come to you on the water." He doesn't have any kind of discussion. Doesn't have to sit there and doesn't tell us. But it doesn't appear that he's sitting there thinking about this, weighing the ifs, ands, and buts. It's just, "Lord, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus' response is one word. Come. And again, in my Bible, it's got an exclamation point. Jesus doesn't give Peter any pointers, any discussion about what's going to happen when he walks in the water, what it's like, what he's to do, how he's to walk, nothing. Doesn't give him any of that, but one command. Come. And we see here, so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Now there's nothing here to indicate to us that Peter had to hem and haw, think this through, analyze what's going on out there. Doesn't seem to be appearing at the waves that are all stirred up. Peter's only got one word in his head. Come. My Lord has given me a word. In the middle of a storm, the Lord has given him a word. And being true to form of Peter, he makes the instant decision to obey the word of the Lord. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. There doesn't appear to be any hesitation on his part. It's not indicated here. He just got out and walked on the water because Jesus said, come. So somewhere in this process of him walking on the water, though he has received the firm command of Jesus, he suddenly, but when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened. Something happens here to Peter, even though he has received a firm word from the Lord. In the middle of a storm, that's his word, something happens. And he's suddenly experiencing fear. I don't know about you, but in the middle of some storms that I have had personally, and I know what the Lord has said, I start to obey and something doesn't quite work out the way I would have liked it to work out. In the middle of my storm, though I have a sure word, I begin to get a little shaky. And it suddenly doesn't work out. And he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and held him. This is astounding to me. Jesus is standing on the water, and he still is able to reach down. He had to, must have bent over, I would think, because Peter's thinking, grabs his hand, is able to pick him up and hold him. I'm sure that all of us have experienced this, that in the middle of our shaky time, we cry out, Lord, save me. Only again, here I've got in my Bible, exclamation point. So Peter must have really been quite vocal. Lord, save me. And I don't know about you, but done the same thing. In the middle of it, when I make a mess, Lord, save me. And thank you, Lord, he's always there. Now, this I find absolutely, it just blows my mind. Jesus catches him, he holds him. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now let's get real. Peter's just walked on water. Does Jesus say to him, Pete, great job. Look at the amount of water you just walked on to get over to me. Good job, Pete. Next time, maybe you'll get all the way. There's no pat on the back. There's no nothing for the amazing thing that Peter did. He just climbed out of the boat and walked without questioning, without doubting. Jesus does not get into that whatsoever. He's not giving him any applause, not giving any congratulations, no nothing. Jesus gives him a rebuke. I don't know about you, but that might not feel too good after I just did something amazing that I think is pretty amazing for that I've done. I don't know if you've ever experienced any time, but you kind of think, gee, the Lord must really have liked that. And that was pretty good, God. Look what I just obeyed. Look what I just did. Look what I accomplished. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" In the middle of my caving in a storm. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he say such a thing to Peter, who's just been the only disciple that chose to walk on the water? The only disciple that listened to the command. Why would he say such a thing? Has anybody got any insight of what?
Never completed the task.
Did everybody hear that? He never completed the task. Anybody else have any other thoughts on that? Do you suppose Jesus might have been after something? This is a disciple, and I'm sure by this time Jesus must be aware that this disciple, the Lord, the Father has told him, this disciple is going to go on to do some pretty awesome things. And if this disciple is going to go on to do some pretty awesome things, this disciple needs to be rid of something that caused him to doubt. So what would come into Peter if Jesus had given him a pat on the back and said,
"Pride.
Good job. Pride. Pride." Jesus knew that. There is no way that Jesus was going to give him any amount of applause and let that spirit of pride come up in him and create problems for this disciple that has got an amazing plan. Just like you and I, every one of us here has got an amazing plan from God. So in the middle of our storm, whatever it might be, and you expect something different. Now, I had an experience like that just recently. The Lord had done me a great, great, great favor by saving my life because the brakes went in my car and my husband was the one who found it, took care of it, and I didn't drive that car. Within 3 days of that happening, I broke my glasses right here, the frames. So I went over to Lens Crafter to get my glass frames. And I walked in with, "Okay, God, I'm looking for favor." That was my exact attitude. "Look what you just did for me. Saved my life. I have no idea what would have happened if I drove that car. My husband has enough wisdom as a man to know what to look for, and he saw the problem." But I walk into Lens Crafters to get my new frames, looking for God's favor. You know how much favor I got? I got ticked. They could not replace my frame. I had to buy a whole new pair of glasses because I have no backup. I could feel this stuff coming up inside. And I'm thinking, where's the favor? Where is it, God? I mean, after all, I'm your kid. There should be some favor going on here. There wasn't one. I finally had to stand there and cry out without verbalizing it for grace. Grace, God, grace. I'm stuck. My back's against the wall. I need a pair of glasses because I can't see without them. And now I've got to buy a whole new pair. I didn't like it. What do you think God was after?
just made a quick decision that I was going to have to walk this out. It did not go well. After they measured me for the glasses, I don't know how many of you are familiar with LensCrafter, but they guarantee to have a pair of glasses in an hour. Well, the pair that I had been wearing that day, I got them in an hour. But somewhere between that time frame and this one, they no longer carry my lenses. Sorry, we can't do your glasses here. Not what I wanted to hear. So he makes a call to Holyoke, and I'm thinking to myself, hold it, I can't see. I'm at Eastfield Mall, I'm not driving to Holyoke. Holyoke's lab was shut down, but they had my lenses. So they agreed to send the lenses down to Enfield, Connecticut, and the gentleman who was waiting on me said, I will meet you at Enfield tonight. Now this is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Tonight. Needless to say, my attitude had to really take a nosedive. And the heart had to change. Because my idea of favor was not what God had in mind. What God had in mind was a heart that would walk through that situation expressing Him, not me being ticked off. That was my storm. The storm was obviously, it was 8 o'clock that night before I got a pair of glasses and had to pay full price for a pair of glasses. Jesus definitely was not saying to me, favor, definitely was not saying that. Oh, you of little faith, don't doubt me. I still love you. I'm still taking care of you. It's still okay.
So to any of you that have any kind of experience like this, you may not walk on water, but maybe what you're going through feels like you are, because sometimes it's very similar to the kind of step that we're willing to take, a risk that we're willing to take. Jesus will definitely catch you. He'll definitely take you through. But perhaps what Jesus is after is grow up. It's time to grow up, it's time to mature, and time to listen to what he has to say when he says, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? God's got some awesome plans for you. He's got some awesome purposes that he wants you to take care of. And like me, my heart had to change. Does anybody have anything they would like to add to that? Anything they'd like to share at all? It's okay, just thought I'd ask. And I did have a very challenging night, Sunday night. I get up early Monday morning because I do homeschooling for my grandchildren. And so I set my alarm early. I need to be over to their house for 8 o'clock. But I could not fall asleep. And it got to be pretty close to 2 o'clock in the morning. And out of nowhere, an attack came on my head. My head, the pain was incredible. I have no idea. I still do not totally understand what happened. And I just cried out to the Lord, got up, I took communion, and I just kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. Somewhere around 3 o'clock, I managed to drift off by God's grace. So when I hear my alarm go off at 3 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, 3 hours of sleep, it was astounding to me the strength that the Lord imparted as I had to walk out the day, because not only was I teaching a class with my grandchildren, but I had a serious situation come up with a friend of mine that required a great deal of effort to help her, and there was no way I could think about I'm tired or anything. As that thought would creep into my head, instantly the Holy Spirit would remind me my strength. So I give the glory to God that I did get through that day, but it was His strength that did it. So in the middle of that storm, Jesus was definitely doing an awesome job. And that is my prayer for each one of you. That's it. That's what He gave me.